Look, up on the slopes. What is that? Well, it looks like a pair of cross-country skiers going downhill. No, it must be some alpine skiers with broken bindings. Wait, on closer inspection, it's...
Those Telly Guys.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Those Telly Guys. I'm joined, as always, by Morgs. And how are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm good. Coming in from the other end of the phone line tonight, Rich, and... Yeah, it's been a bitterly cold few days here in Victoria, and geez, there must be some serious snow falling up top. Yeah, starting to get super excited for the season to come. And tonight, Rich, looks like we're going to be talking about what exciting things can be happening during this winter. How have you been?
I've been good. We had our first ski on the weekend. You did too. Just a few turns before the mega dump, and those turns were fun, but geez. Talk about timing. We finished skiing right before it started falling, and they're talking about some of the best conditions they've had in years. It snowed really low down, almost down in town here in Mount Beauty. And as you said, yeah, it was bitterly cold.
Yeah, it was a pretty nice day of skiing on Sunday. It was pretty poor visibility. I was up with my wife, but yeah, the snow was beautiful. It was nice and cold, and it's just continued to get even colder in the days since that. Since that Sunday, like you say, it's pretty unusual to get snow in the places that they have been getting it. I think Toowonga Gap, Mount Stanley near Beechworth, to get snow that low down is certainly exciting. And I'm sure everyone's ears around Australia have pricked up at what's going to come in the next week or so, because it's looking like it might continue. It's still going to be cold this weekend.
Now, winter weather came early to Australia with a cold front bringing snow across the southeast as high winds created large surf swells at Sydney's Bondi Beach. The Weather Bureau warned the sheep farmers across the southeast and the alpine areas to keep animals warm, for exposure to cold, wet conditions could kill them. Temperatures were well below average in the Australian Capital Territory, according to the state's Bureau of Meteorology. The cold weather also resulted in cancellation of dozens of flights and hours of delay at Sydney Airport. At least 50 domestic flights were cancelled on Monday. Some locations also experienced coldest temperatures for this time of year following the first big widespread snow event of the year.
Yeah, it is. And hopefully, one day we'll get to the mammoth snow event that the pub records on the wall. They've got a photo inside the pub where people are skiing around the pondage here in Mount Beauty. Unbelievable amount of snow. Well, yeah. I'd love to see that one day. So I was praying it would just keep coming, but it didn't. But yes, the forecast does look good, and hoping for more snow to get everything fired up. But Morgs, before we get into this week's topic about events across a high country and the various resorts, I've got some breaking news here, some breaking Bogong Bulletin news.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
Give it to me, Rich.
And Morgs, we are joined by the newest staff member of Those Telly Guys, because it's much harder for me to get myself motivated these days with our little son, Arthur. He takes up a lot of our time. So what sort of role do you want to give yourself?
I think I'm your PA at the moment.
She has been smashing out emails and doing all sorts of work for us. It's been fantastic. And we are, of course, joined by Arthur as well, who has plenty to say about that country skiing and talent park skiing. He's chewing on a Mountain Safety Collective sticker at the moment, which is great.
Tasty.
Can you inform us of the latest news, Cole? You've been working on a little project for us, which I haven't been able to get off the ground myself.
Yeah, so I've got some merch news. I'm not sure if the listeners are aware, but before there was the Those Telly Guys podcast, there was Those Telly Guys journey began with you three musketeers, Rich, Morgs and Fergs, wanting to proudly show off how much you loved 75mm boots. Yeah, they did.
Yeah, 75mm boots are good, aren't they?
Especially amidst the growth of the NTN stuff. So you made some hoodies and some tees. I mean, that was a few years ago. Since then, there's probably been a few false starts, a few promises of getting things made up, and it hasn't come to fruition. So lots of
Makes you angry,
and
doesn't it?
Makes him angry. Yes. So I guess since you guys did that, there's been a few false starts, promises of gear and merchandise that haven't quite come to fruition. So when I was starting my mat leave last year before Arthur came along, I had a little bit of time. So I started the ball rolling and got some sort of samples. And now that Arthur's getting a little bit bigger, I've found a little bit of time to follow up on all that. And we've got a friend, an artist friend, Callie, who does some amazing digital art, and she's helped out.
From Stitch Doodle Art. Yeah. Is the name. I feel naughty saying doodle.
Anyway, sorry. So Callie's helped out and she has put together a few designs. They're based off stuff that you guys have done. And I've got those back and I'm just in the process of putting them onto a website where eventually listeners will be able to jump on and grab a t-shirt or 100 t-shirts. It's print on demand, so you can get as many as you want.
Thanks for all the groundwork there, Nicole.
Arthur's getting angry.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming into the studio.
That's okay. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
All right, into this week's topic, Morgs.
Rich, tonight we're going to delve into the plethora of excellent winter and snow time events that Australia, our beautiful country, has to offer. So you've done fantastic groundwork for us this week, and we've dug deep into all of the resorts' websites and all of the different social media platforms to find out all of the great things that you can be doing this winter in Australia on a pair of skis or a snowboard or snowshoes or whatever it is that you want to do, even if you just want to go up to the snow and just have a nice time and meet some people. There's heaps of stuff going on, isn't there, Rich?
There is, mate, and I'm really excited to talk about some of these events because we have spent a lot of time talking about the Backcountry Festival here in Victoria, and we do love that festival. There's a whole bunch of events out there that haven't got any airtime from us, so I'm pretty excited to roll those out on the podcast and spread the good news about some of these fun and exciting events.
I'm excited. I've been excited just before we started recording, looking through this list and reading up on a few of the points that we've got down here on some of these events. They sound cool, sound interesting. Some of them I had heard of, some of them I hadn't. And yeah, like I'm definitely interested in attending a few of these myself. And yeah, it's just great to see that there's plenty of initiatives still out there to get people up and involved. And you know, some of them obviously have a financial cost associated with them, but some of them, you know, you can get away with, you know, minimal cost just sort of getting there yourself. And so it's great that, you know, we want skiing and winter activities to be accessible to more and more people. That's always a good thing in my opinion. But yeah, it's, I guess from the top, and this is probably an unrelated or not quite an event, as you would say, this is just another news event, is you mentioned to me off air before that Selwyn Snow Resort or Selwyn Ski Fields, they're opening this weekend coming.
Mount Selwyn opening this weekend after 3 years in hiatus because of the bushfires.
Bushfire activity.
Geez, it's that long ago, wasn't it? Yeah, bushfires have burnt down the resort. But they're opening up this weekend and it looks like they've got a few new chairs and carpet spinning, which is very exciting.
Okay, as in, so they're because I've never been to Selwyn myself, I don't know a whole lot about that particular resort. So you said they have new chairs and carpets. I'm assuming that some of their previous ski lift equipment had been completely incinerated or damaged beyond, you know, needed significant repairs or replacing. So, yeah, that is exciting. You know, friend of the show, Lucas, he's obviously, he mentioned on previous times being on the podcast that he grew up in that part of the world, up in the Man from Snowy River country, and Selwyn was his local hill, so he'll be thrilled to hear that news, I'm sure. I should get there one day. I think it's significantly cheaper than skiing at other resorts.
Yeah, I think they're renowned for being the most cost-effective for families, so I think they've got some really pretty good pass deals for the whole fam. But yeah, it looks like they've had a really good time making a whole bunch of snow, and of course Mother Nature's helped out with a big dump over the weekend. So, yeah, they're opening up and it's exciting. So we'll maybe touch on that throughout the season and see how they're going. And, geez, Morgs, if we could get there for a ski, that'd be unreal.
Yeah, maybe we should. We should make that a goal of ours to get there for a ski this season or next season, I think. And they seem pretty keen to get people along, you know, given that they've been unable to operate the last few years due to COVID and bushfire. Yeah, I guess they're just keen to get people up there, which is cool. Now, these are listed in chronological order, aren't they, these events that we're going to work through in chronological order? Fantastic. That's really good. We like that. We like order. We also like chaos. But the next thing that would be happening, so that's this weekend, Selwyn is opening. On the 8th of July, this is an event from Mount Buller, the Shred for Chump 2023 on the 8th of July. So this is obviously about Alex Chumpy Pullen, a memorial, the anniversary of his death. I'm not sure if it would coincide with the anniversary of that, but certainly a memorial of his life anyway, being a local to that area. And Mount Buller was kind of his local ski resort. So you want to say a little bit about what that event's all about, Rich?
Yeah, well, I guess he was an Olympian of ours, a snowboard Olympian of ours, when I say ours, Australia. And he was, I guess, the poster boy for the Winter Olympics for a long time, especially around the Mount Buller area. So, you know, the community really loves him there. They get together to, I guess, commemorate his life and the sad passing when he unfortunately drowned. So, yeah, it'd be great for people to get up there. It seems like it's all about gathering, riding the chairs together, having a laugh, swapping stories, and of course, sharing a lap to remember their friend. So, yeah, I think it'll be a great weekend.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, there's a lot of talking points to this one, Morgs, and we don't have to read them all out, but on the 13th of July, it's Adam Ski and Golf Day, and it's held at Mount Buller and the Mansfield Golf Course, and it's a fun event, apparently, that donates a whole bunch of money towards the Mansfield School Snow Program, which is a really great initiative. I love seeing quirky events like this that give money back to schools to run their own ski programs, which is awesome. And from what I can see, Morgs, it looks like they've raised over $300,000 since the program began in 1999.
Yeah, that's great. I was wondering about the format of an event like this, so I'll just talk a little bit to that here, because I'm sure listeners would also be wondering the same thing about how does a ski and golf day work? Do they ski around and try and hit the ball off the snow while they're skiing and set up a bit of a makeshift course up there? No, it's not quite that exciting, although that would be cool. I'd like to see that.
It would be very cool, very cool.
It says consistency rather than speed is the objective around the gates, and teams are rewarded for having the smallest time differential between each rider's two runs. So you get together in a pair and then obviously ski down a timed run, but yeah, smallest time differential between each rider's two runs. Okay, so you don't want to be too much faster. Following the ski and snowboard leg, the teams make their way to the Mansfield Golf Course for a barbecue lunch, followed by an Ambrose competition. So I'm not sure if there's like an overall winner for being the fastest skier and then also winning the most amount of holes or like beating your opponents in Ambrose golf, but it sounds like a bit of a laugh and, yeah, a great day out, really.
Yeah, it must be a busy day. I mean, the days are short here at the moment in Australia. I imagine it's going to be pretty quick to get off the hill and then get to the golf course for what I assume is only 9 holes. I can't imagine them fitting 18 holes in. But yeah, that'd be a great one to get to. And yeah, again, a great incentive to raise money for the local school snow sports program.
The very next day, Rich, 14th of July, the Wombat Rambler is on at Falls Creek. And for those that don't know what a wombat is, it's a four-legged marsupial mammal that is native and endemic to the continent of Australia that burrows. It lives in a burrow hole in the ground and it eats roots and leaves. So the wombat's ramble is kind of like it's sort of like semi a green run and partially also a cat track. But it's, I guess, in terms of the time it takes you to ski it, it's certainly the longest run at Falls Creek, isn't it? But that's all also because you're dodging ski school and you know, it's at a very, very mellow gradient. But anyway, Wombat's Ramble also happens to be the only place that they can do night skiing at Falls Creek anyway. So that's why this event is on, isn't it, Rich?
It is, and it's exciting. And I thought it might be fun, Morgs, if, you know, a bunch of Telemark skiers rock up with their old leather boots and old skinny skis, and won't be quite a smelly knee pad event, but it would be funny to just see people trying to go flat out on wombats, see how fast they can get down and, you know, even promote a bit of skating on that flat cat track part.
Which sounds like a hoot. I think I'll definitely be there for that.
The next event is a race. It sounds a little bit more serious, Morgs. It's on the 22nd to the 23rd of July, and I've stuck this in here because I'd love to go see a biathlon. Mm. I've only watched it on TV, but the Australian Biathlon Championships are at Mount Hotham.
Fantastic.
On that weekend.
Yeah.
And, yeah, if you're curious, get up there and have a look. And of course, biathlons are all about people on skates skiing around and then dropping down, pulling out some sort of weird rifle and shooting a target and then moving on. I'm not really sure how it works in terms of how they score with shooting and their time. I'd have to study the rules a little bit, but that would be pretty cool to go see.
I don't know if they score with shooting, but isn't it like it is a race, you're doing laps, but then once you complete a lap, you have to, I don't know what the number is, but say you have to shoot like 3 clay targets, and if you keep missing them, then you're just obviously falling further behind. I don't know.
Is it clay targets?
Well, I don't know. What are they shooting? Are they?
I think it's just a target, but I would love to see them all drop down and go, pull, pull.
Maybe they're not then. No, they actually, no, in true dirtbag telemark spirit, they actually have to ski off into the forest and shoot a rabbit or something.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I think it's almost just like a powerful air rifle that they've got. I'd love to see them, yeah, have shotguns over their shoulder and shoot some clay targets.
Oh, okay. So that rolls into August as well. So there's a second race on the 12th and 13th of August. They're selection events for the Australian national team, the Australian national junior team, and the Australian development team. So the heat will be on.
But moving along, Monday the 24th.
Yeah, moving to Thredbo for this one.
Yeah, which is exciting. So Monday 24th to the 30th of July, Morgs, what have we got?
Yeah, so we've got Environment Week at Thredbo, which is up in New South Wales. So this is dedicated to driving awareness with our guests about environmental initiatives and what Thredbo and everyone could all be doing as a community to protect winter and Mount Thredbo. So do your part this Environment Week and buy a tree for $5 online or in resort to offset your trip to the snow. Better yet, during Thredbo Environment Week, we'll match your donation tree for free.
I like the principle of this. It's cool to see resorts, and I think this is the only one I've seen, but you know, they're saying, you know, let's do something for the environment. We're obviously not good for it. We're using up a lot of electricity, a lot of power. Maybe let's plant a few trees just to acknowledge that we're all kind of dirtbags in that regard. But yeah, really, really good.
I'm assuming they do it outside of winter time or at a place, like, because I don't know, like, are they planting trees up in the Alps there, like near Mount Thredbo? Because you're certainly not doing that in the middle of winter, which, you know, they didn't explicitly state that they were doing it right then and there.
They would question if they were just digging potholes in the snow and then sticking rootstock in.
What's up next, Rich?
August 18th and 19th, we've got the Women's Backcountry Weekend presented by North Face. So this is cool. And this isn't the only initiative I've seen throughout the resorts in terms of promoting women in skiing sports or snowboarding sports. There's plenty of those out there. But again, having a bit of a backcountry lens on here, this is all about getting women into the backcountry or introducing them into the backcountry, which is really cool.
Yeah, so Thredbo Backcountry Tours, which is obviously a little backcountry guide business up in that part of the world, they've teamed up with the North Face to provide a bit of an experience to promote backcountry skiing and or, you know, slipboarding or whatever it might be with more women and give them the opportunity to develop skills beyond the resort boundaries and connect with people that are already into those sorts of activities. So it sounds like there'll be female guides that they've written here. It's all female guides. And then they split into a couple of different groups that run on the same day. And just sort of get, you know, aimed at getting other female people that, you know, are either into the backcountry already or want to know a little bit more about it and get out there and get amongst it and learn some stuff.
But yeah, it sounds like a great event. You know, on the Friday night, you can watch a movie and, you know, take the opportunity to get to know who your touring buddies are. And yeah, again, have a drink and relax and plan your weekend out and yeah, get into the backcountry.
Now, Rich, this is one that the telemarkers out there will be all too familiar with as well. The 26th of August 2023 is the annual World Loppet Series Kangaroo Hoppet at Falls Creek. Talk to me.
Oh, and how excited everyone is in town. You know, the posters are up and people are out training already. And it's only taken, you know, what have we had in total? 50 centimetres of snow, which has been a great start. You know, that dump we just had is awesome. But the cross-country skis are out and about. The groomers have started laying corduroy and people getting ready, fired up, getting those quads ready just to bounce like springs to get around the 42K course and be the champion of the Australian Hoppet, or Joey Series, which is 7, or Birkenbeiner, which is 21Ks.
Yeah, now this the Kangaroo Hoppet, this attracts people from all over the world, being part of the World Hoppet Series, doesn't it, Rich?
Oh, yeah. There's so many internationals, and we touched on it last year when we talked about it, or debriefed it, I suppose. I guess the international component of the race is quite massive, and of course, people travel around with their World Hoppet Series passport, and they get the various events stamped as they move around the world chasing, I guess, or chasing the dream of one day filling that book completely. And we've had some Russians stay at our house in our Airbnb space. It's a bit of a story, but essentially Valerie and his two friends rocked up and we thought Valerie was a woman. We did ask if Valerie and what we assumed would be their partner would happily share a room, and then because we had two spare rooms, three men rocked up and they did not want to share a room, yeah, put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah, one of them was on the couch, weren't they? Yeah, you and I headed up Bogong early the next morning.
That's right. They were very happy just to be in Australia, I think, and learn how to cook chickens. That's a story for another time. Now, Morgs, we've obviously talked about this event a lot in the last few years. It's the Victorian Backcountry Festival at Mount Hotham on the 1st to the 3rd of September. Are you excited?
I am absolutely excited, Rich. A celebration, self-dubbed celebration of all things backcountry. So they're just keen to get as many different people from different disciplines along, you know, people that are into snow camping, cross-country skiing, alpine touring, splitboarding, telemarking, whatever it is. If you're into that sort of thing, you should definitely get down to the Backcountry Festival. Last year was my first taste of the Victorian Backcountry Festival, and my oh my, what a fun weekend it was. The beers were flowing in the evening. There were good times, great like-minded people to meet, and lots of friends were there as well. So it was just really cool to be there. And we had really nice weather, which was great as well. But yeah, gosh, what a great weekend.
Yeah, the nice weather always helps. But yes, going from strength to strength from when it initially started years ago, I remember it was really just literally a couple of people at the back of Falls Creek there at Windy Corner sitting around a fire pit having a few beers from Sweetwater Brewery at the time. And yeah, it wasn't much to it apart from that and a couple of random tours, but look what it's turned into.
Yeah, what sort of things should the fair listener expect if they hadn't been along to the Backcountry Festival before? What sort of things should they expect to or do there?
It has changed. It used to be, you know, a sandwich board at the front of Windy Corner with a tour time and a location, and whoever rocked up would go on this tour.
Yeah, they've gone a bit more legit now, haven't they?
Yeah, and last year, as we heard from Anne, and you can go back and listen to that episode, they really focused on making sure that like-minded people and skill were kind of in the same group, people safe, and kind of emphasised that the tours were mostly for introduction to backcountry / intermediate sort of stuff. There was no real advanced sort of stuff. But
yeah, that was a good thing, and it was probably, you know, the more, now that they are a bit more official or a bit more legitimate and probably more well-known as well, the Victorian Backcountry Festival was cool to see, yeah, that they had a bit more of a rigorous system for signing up. And yeah, like you said, Anne was sort of holding the fort during that day on the Saturday, I think, or the Saturday and the Sunday, and at the Jenny at Hotham, and you know, manning the phone while checking in with the people that were running the tours. So yeah, it was pretty well organized, and they definitely had participant safety at the front of their minds. So yeah, it was pretty well thought through and well planned out.
Absolutely, it was. Now, Morgs, moving on, that's a bit of a clash with the Backcountry Festival, because at the same time, from the 1st to the 10th of September, so you can still get there if you want, we've got Gay Ski Week at Falls Creek.
Oh, Gay Ski Week, yeah. I hadn't heard of this one before, Rich, but it's cool to, you know, to see that they're promoting this sort of thing up in, you know, our winter wonderland, Falls Creek.
So apparently they've got over 50 events, Morgs.
Yes.
Across the resort, and a lot of parties, a lot of après skiing, as they call it.
Yes, yes.
This is an interesting dot point they've got here, and I think it's a bit of a pun, but you can grab a big package
well played,
for the best value and maximum snow vacation time.
Or choose from the Fab Four night opening weekend package or the Frosty Five night closing weekend package.
They've got packages for everyone, is what they're trying to say.
Like you said, 10 days, 9 nights, 2 weekends. A uniquely Australian alpine adventure, they're calling it here. I guess if you're around False Creek at that time, it sounds like it could be a cool thing to check out, and it sounds like there'll be plenty of... there has been in the past. I hadn't heard of it, but it sounds like it has been well supported in the past here. They said they've had hundreds of participants, which is really cool to see. And hopefully plenty of people get along to it this year, Rich.
There you go. So it's for everyone.
Yeah. This is also on around that same time, Rich, the 9th of September, Hotham Retro Day. Now, this sounds like an absolute hoot. Join us for the annual Hotham Retro Day and dress up in the best old school ski outfit you can find and brighten up the slopes with us. You must have a couple of nice old retro kits in the back of the shed somewhere, Rich. What have you got?
I do have a onesie that I've never worn from the Mount Beauty Op Shop. It's like this huge, it's my marker, I think. The company that makes the bindings, like the Marker Duke and whatnot, they make that touring frame binding, the F10, the F12. So yeah, it's a big old blue onesie that would be great to pull out. Perhaps I can wear the retro onesie with my leather boots and my skinny skin.
So this is also on at the same time at Hotham Ridge. This is the Chicks Who Shred. So yeah, basically summarize this one in a few short words. It's basically just for, yeah, promoting, yeah, just an event for females to get together and go for a shred at Mount Hotham by the sounds of it.
Yeah, it sounds interesting. I think you hit the nail on the head. I don't really know much about Chicks Who Shred, previously known as Chicks With Sticks. What I'm reading here, Morgs, is that Chicks Who Shred are a grassroots organisation that were founded in 2010. Oh, so they've been around for a long time. In Australia by a bunch of like-minded, passionate, snow-loving chicks, and their aim is to provide a fun and supportive environment for women who ski and snowboard. So isn't that awesome?
Retro Weekend.
Another one.
At Mount Buller. Yeah, Mount Buller's got their own. That's on the 16th and 17th. They also then have the Kids Ski Week the following week, so the 18th to the 22nd of September. That's Kids Ski Week. Oh, what about this? Mount Buller mascots, Blake the Flake and Barry the Pygmy Possum.
Barry?
So they're Pete the Snow Dragon's rivals. Yeah. Barry the Pygmy Possum.
And Pete the Snow Dragon.
I love it.
Yeah, rivals to Pete the Snow Dragon, Morgs. I haven't seen him out in force yet, but I did see something funny the other day. You know, Pete's obviously got a bit of a following. I'm not sure he needs to worry about Barry the Pygmy Possum or Blake the Flake, which I've actually seen Blake the Flake. That explains things now. I've seen photos of this comical kind of, you know, it's got like hands and legs and whatever, and it's just big blue. I think it's got the Buller logo on it. It's quite funny. Pete's got nothing to worry.
When I hear Blake the Flake, though, I'm thinking of like a piece of fried fish from fish and chip shop. Blake the Flake.
Buller are renowned for their superior fish and chips. Again, I don't think Pete's got nothing to worry about because he does have a fan base. When I was heading out in the cross-country tracks the other day, and there were a couple of snow walkers, they went on snowshoes, they were just plodding around on the snow, and they had Pete the Snow Dragon tails on them. These were two adults, like old adults. Probably in their 60s, and they had little blue Pete the Snow Dragon tails on them. I just thought, isn't that great? Pete's doing well.
Now, there's another one that we've got here, the September Kids Snow Festival. So that's a separate thing, is it? 16th of September to the 1st of October. We're getting a few overlapping dates here, but I'm not sure where this one...
Threadbow. Yeah, it's at Threadbow. Yeah. It's great to see events doing a whole bunch of stuff for kids, which is awesome. A really great time, and this is going to be me, no doubt, in the future. Just going to the snow, hanging out with a whole bunch of other families and, you know, maybe skiing for a little bit, maybe just throwing some snow around, building some snow people and just having a great time in the snow. So I'm really looking forward to getting involved in some of those events in the future.
Ooh, this one sounds like it might be up your alley, Rich, on the 22nd to the 25th of September, the Spring Touring Adventure Escape.
Yeah, so I haven't heard of this one. It must be a new one at Falls Creek. I'm not sure if it happened last year, but it'd be good to touch base with the event organisers. It is a backcountry skiing weekend, and the notes that we've got here about the event is that this ski touring trip promises to be unforgettable, which is always really nice, offering an opportunity to enhance your touring techniques and exploring stunning terrain beyond Falls Creek. So yeah, I'm not really sure who's it aimed at. I mean, they've got one of the dot points there is that it's an opportunity to enhance your touring techniques. So maybe, you know, beginners or intermediate backcountry enthusiasts. They promise that the trip will be a perfect mix of challenge and leisure whilst ensuring everyone's comfort level is catered to. So that sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it does. Like you say, I would also be very interested to check it out and see what it's all about, because it's just down the road from us, and it sounds like it's something that would be right up our alley. So I'm sure we'd see other people there that are into it, or you know, trying to get Ooh. Into the backcountry. And
I wonder if it's catered for the upper echelons. Yes, I'm reading here that you'll be accommodated for 3 nights at the delightful Fudef Village, with professional catering and daily Pilates classes included.
Oh, hello.
Yes. Relax, recharge, and experience the ultimate ski touring adventure.
There won't be any telemark skiers there.
No. Maybe a lot of spider. Now, Morgs, at the end of the season, there's always similar events, and we won't read out the event description for all of them, but all the major resorts have some sort of slush cup. So, you know, from anywhere from the 29th to the 1st of October, you know, Parrish has got their slush cup. Falls has got their slush cup. Buffalo.
Pond skin.
Buffalo don't have a slush cup, but Buller do.
Yeah. Threadbow also have a pond skin, 1st of October.
Yeah.
Yeah. Always a bit of a laugh to see people getting a bit silly, dressing up in a crazy outfit or a dinosaur costume. Pete the Snow Dragon, I'm sure he does the pond skin.
I'm sure.
Dress up as him and ski down into that giant pool of water. Where do they do it at Falls?
Well, Morgs, what a great bunch of events that we've just talked about. Really looking forward to maybe dipping our toes into a few of them and seeing what they're all about. Maybe trying some new things. Wouldn't mind getting to the Wombats Ramble on the old leather boots and seeing how fast we can get down the very challenging slope of Wombats.
Yeah, and you know, it seems it's fresh in the mind. The pond skim and things like that, I'd definitely be keen for that. At the end of the season, seeing that I'm a bit more of a local resident now, but also things like Retro Day and, of course, we'll be there at the Backcountry Festival, and I'm sure you'll be trying your hand at the Kangaroo Hopping again this year, Rich, do you think?
I will be, yes, but speaking of Nordic events, I'm probably more excited to strap the skinny skis on and get the shotgun and hunt a few rabbits out the back of Hotham there, I reckon.
Yeah, it would be cool to get along to the biathlon if we don't have anything on that weekend, go along for a bit of a look and then maybe a bit of a ski out the back side country at Hotham somewhere. It'd be a great weekend out.
That would be unbelievable. Oh, very good, Morgs.
Yes, indeed. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.
Cheers, mate. Bye.
Those telly guys hope you have enjoyed this program. We'd love to hear from you. Please get in touch at thosetellyguys@gmail.com. If you enjoy this show, please subscribe for more fun episodes. Otherwise, you can find us on Instagram. Thank you.